The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 10 minutes past 10 o'clock. Our guest today is Dr. Thomas Haller. We're going to be talking about bullying. He's coming to the area to do a couple of programs, and it'll be on Thursday, March the 21st at Evangel Life. And we're going to be talking about bullying today, the area of Dr. Haller's expertise. So thanks for being with us, Doctor.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
You are coming to Bad Axe. This isn't the first time. I think you were here last year, weren't you?
Yes. Yep. They frequently bring me back out. They haul me out of Saginaw and have me hit some hot topics. And this time I'm going to be talking about creating a bully-free environment and how we can do that.
Now, bullying seems to be something that's a hot topic around. How did you get involved in this field?
I have for several years been working with angry, aggressive, and impulsive children out of my private practice in Saginaw. And so that has been, I've been in practice for 22 years. So before bullying was really the hot topic that it is today, I was doing more with dealing with the impulsive and aggressive child. And I travel around the country and work with educators, mostly through the Bureau of Education Research, on providing practical strategies. Well, as the bully topic became more hot, as what we're going to do about this, I extended that into the family as well. Because there's stuff that parents need to do, as well as educators and administrators, to all the adults involved. It's an important issue to handle, to help children through this.
Now, I imagine there's always been bullying. We're just becoming aware of its effects. I remember bullying, you know, people being bullies in school, and I'm sure it was long before me, too.
Oh, that's right. And certainly bullying itself is not a new topic. It's that how we're able to address it differently. Some of the stuff we know about brain patterning and brain behavior, and that's new, and it's given us a new way to address the aggressive child.
So you're basically developing a science of bullyism, the way it affects people.
Yes, and the science behind why people do what they do.
Now, is bullying something just we use the term for kids, or can bullying really happen at any age as long as somebody's picking on another?
Yeah, well, bullying does happen at any age. It can happen between adults. It can also happen between adult to child, and then it can happen from child to child. So if we really look at just what the definition of bullying, and we're going to go much deeper into this in the workshop next week, but it's that attempt to persuade or influence a person's choices or their actions or their attitudes with some kind of force or threats or intimidation or manipulation. And so it's that attempt to manipulate somebody. Well, that happens at a variety of different levels. Bosses can be bullies.
But people manipulate each other, but they don't use necessarily bullying. They find other tactics that work better, actually, because that's how you get things done, is you work with people.
Well, yes. When we work with people, then we're taking it out of that whole idea of being manipulative and coercive. We're collaborating. We're working together. Then it's not a bullying situation. But, you know, punishment is a form of bullying, because it attempts to influence somebody else through discomfort or pain or force. You know, so it depends on not necessarily what you're doing, but how you go about doing it. Because discipline could be that way too. Consequences could be that way too. Depends on how you actually work with the other person.
Does the relationship between the bully and the bullier have an impact on how bad it is? I mean, you know, you can be bullied by a kid at school, they're just your peers, but if you're talking about being bullied by a parent or a family member, it seems like, to me, it would have a different dynamic.
There are certainly different dynamics, because what research has shown is that there are teachers that have been bullies, there are parents that are bullies, and there are peers that are bullies, and it all affects the victim in a different way because of the relationship they have with them, all right? And so a lot of times the bullying that takes place between peer, in child to child, oftentimes for boys is different than what it is for girls. And when we're going to separate this real finely in the workshop to talk about, but boys don't tend to bully as much of their close friends. They pick on somebody a little bit outside their group, where girls would pick on somebody inside their group, and they would sort of socially isolate them.
The mean girls scenario, so to speak.
Yes.
Is there a point where, in kids' development, where when kids start off, they really aren't thinking of anyone else but themselves. Does bullying really start after they reach the point where they can understand that other people have feelings, other people have desires and needs and such? Is that where it really technically can kind of begin?
We have seen bullying behavior that's gone all the way down to, 3 and 4-year-olds, preschool and kindergarten kids. Teachers report bullying behavior from them. And so a lot of it does take place in what is called an essential energy, what we have in us from babies, that's the energy to move through each developmental stage. And as we move through that developmental stage, if our needs are not getting met, or if our way to assert, to get our needs met, are somehow squashed or tempered or pushed in by somebody bigger or stronger, better, then we tend to switch from assertiveness to aggression to get what we want. And then we start playing that out. And then the kids can play that. They start doing that at, 3 years old. Well, they'll get what they want in coercive ways and take something from somebody that's younger or smaller or weaker. That's the beginning steps.
Is there a threshold people can recognize for just being assertive or going past that to bullying?
Well, yes. There are actually 4, what we'd say, elements of bullying that tend to be a part of all bullying situations. And it's this intentional cruelty that tends to be, these 4 elements appear. It's where it's a repeated aggressive act. So sometimes people can do a singular act, but when they tend to get into repeating that act, that against somebody else, that would put it in the category of bullying, where it's the bully tends to be the one that has more power or in some way over the other one, whether it's social power or physical power, that puts it into the category of bullying, where it's intentional, where it's not accidental is the third piece. It's intentionally almost gets some kind of, the bully does, get some kind of pleasure or enjoyment in some way out of it in putting the other person down. And then the 4th element that we see is there's a difficulty on the part of the bully to really accept the responsibility for their behavior. They sometimes get caught in saying, well, they deserved it, or it's because they're this way. And then they don't look at their own piece very well. Those are the 4 elements that we see in almost any kind of bullying situation.
Is bullying, to a certain extent, a learned trait? Is it something that they pick up on in their environment from other people around them?
There are aspects of what could be learned. One of the things that I will be talking about are the ways to make a bully. There are ways to make a bully, and one of those is that of modeling or for them how to act. And so they see that when you don't get what you want, this is the way to get it. Get it through an aggressive act. Get it through being aggressive towards somebody else. So that's something that's learned then.
They see somebody else using it and benefiting from it.
Right, sure, exactly. And that can even come from how someone parents. When I don't get what I want from you as a parent, then I become more aggressive with you to get you to behave the way I want you to. Those start sending messages of, here's how you get what you want in the world.
And parents are one of the biggest factors for children growing up.
Well, yeah, they're in their lives, in the first 5 years, they're the ones that have the most contact with their kids.
Is there you know, we all try to, in hindsight, when you find a bully, you think, I should have seen this. Are there telltale things you should be looking for, either if your kid is being bullied, coming home, and maybe how they react, or if your kid is the bully? Are there things that people need to look for, and are these things some of the things you're going to be covering in your talks?
Yeah, I'm going to be covering these things and some of the signs of bullying, that we're looking for some repeated or intentional patterns of either verbal, emotional, or physical aggression. And it could be stuff like excluding others, taunts or harasses someone else, someone who spreads rumors, the repeated using physical force, hitting, kicking, biting, punching, those kinds of things to get what you want, damaging of property or damaging of clothes. Again, if it's repeated and intentional, that's a sign that someone's being a bully. Taking pleasure out of seeing someone else in distress. We're going to create a scenario where we're going to have someone else feel uncomfortable. Sometimes even we can begin to see the signs if it's seeing like an animal in distress. Those are those beginning signs. Uh-oh, we better watch this. That's a sign of that child walking into bullying behavior.
Is it something that really, if you're the one being bullied, just takes a great toll on self-esteem, which can hinder their development as far as learning and everything else?
Very much so. We know that more than 160,000 children nationwide stay home from school every day to avoid bullying. So it's affecting their self-esteem, how they feel about who they are as a person, but it also does affect their learning and their ability to take in information because the environment is no longer safe for them.
Besides the home, the school must be the most frequent environment for young people growing up. Is this why schools are focusing so hard on the bullying topic?
Well, and there is a mandate that has been put down by the schools. All schools are required to address it now in one form or another and have bullying plans in place because kids, once they hit the school age, they almost spend more time at school around other people than they do at home around their family. So we know that, yes, there's a family component here that has to be addressed, but that from 5-6 years old on, the kids aren't there anymore. So we have to address where are they more, and that it needs to be addressed at the school level as well. And that's why the workshop that I'm doing an evening one for parents, but I'm also doing one during the day for professionals in the afternoon. I'll be presenting basically the same material, but gearing one more towards, okay, how do professionals deal with and handle this in their setting, and then we'll do one in the evening for how to parents handle it in the family setting.
Because professionals have to look at the big picture here. They have to look at, you know, is this an isolated incident, or am I seeing this over and over again? Because that, to me, would be one of the telltale signs that there's something going on here that needs to be addressed.
Right, and that's that it's repeated and intentional again, and so we're looking for that repeated nature. If something happens, once or twice, and then it seems to kind of filter away and not be a regular occurrence, then we wouldn't put that into the whole category of bullying. We may put it into a different category of maybe some aggression, impulsivity, and that person needs to learn something a little bit differently, and some of the consequences might be different. But when we start, that's why they need to be tracking it from the start, so we can see how repeated this might have become.
When you're dealing with the bullies themselves, do you have to first look to see if there's any underlying, perhaps maybe a medical or clinical factor that might be raising their aggression? Certain, learning disorders and stuff can be frustrating for kids.
Yes. One of the important keys to remember here when you're looking at a bully, oftentimes bullies were also victims at one point. Right? They were victims at one point, and it didn't get addressed, and they turn into becoming a bully to address it themselves. So we have to look behind in that way. Now, your question is more, okay, is there something more medical involved or organic involved? And that has to be addressed as well. That doesn't in any way, in either of those cases, doesn't absolve the behavior of the bully.
No, but it can help in helping the bully learn not to do it if there's an aggravating factor that's pushing them that way.
Exactly. We'd have to look at the underlying and address that underlying issue as well and teach them new strategies for handling whatever the condition is that they're working with.
And you noted that bullies usually or often are bullied themselves at a younger age. And is it just the human thing that we often sometimes grow up to be exactly what we swore we wouldn't be?
When we're not given the skills and the direction to handle it, yes. So you'll catch me frequently saying this at workshops, is if you want a behavior, you have to teach a behavior. So we have to teach those who are victims how to handle the situation so that they don't turn into becoming a bully themselves as a way to address it on their own.
If you were taught the wrong things early on, you have to be retaught to do it right, or there's not going to be much of a change.
Right. And so you can do that. You learned it once, you can learn it a different way.
Well, some of us are getting so old, you know, the old dog's new tricks things, but is this something that, parents, when they feel their child is being bullied, need to take a, you know, they have to take action, but do they need to take a measured action that's right for the situation and for the kid and him or herself?
Well, the first piece that I talk with parents about when they get ready to take action is they have to move up in their own consciousness first. They have to themselves handle their own feelings about what's going on so that they're not adding to it. So if they can't come with anger to deal with this situation. They can't model the very behavior that they're trying to extinguish. We call that the coercive trap. So you move in and become more of demonstrating bully behavior yourself as a way to try to handle it. So that's the first step is, you know what, move up in your own consciousness and deal with the situation without the emotion, but with practical steps of here's what I'm going to do next, here's how I'm going to handle it.
You need to be proactive, but you don't need to go all the way to the mother bear type scenario where you're just growling and not taking anybody's guff.
Exactly. That there, you need to get more into a problem-solving mode, that you move up in your own abilities to manage your own behavior and stay into, okay, this is a problem that we're going to work towards solving together as a group. Everybody's got to solve it together. So it can't just be, I've got to have it my way. Well, there are a lot of players involved.
And is the parents, what they say about it important to the kids? You hear so many times, even with things like grades, you know, they're going to ruin my child's chances in the future. Do children, you got to be careful. They hear these things and may set themselves up for failure.
Well, in just ranting in that way, oh, you're going to get ruined, and that doesn't necessarily solve the problem or give the child, the receiver of the bullying, the victim here, it doesn't give them any what I can do about it. So we have to move to the stages of here are the steps we're going to take as adults. Your teacher's going to do this, administration's going to do this, parents are going to do this, and you as the victim, there are some things here that you need to learn, and this is what you can do. And so you've got to move it off of that and onto what can we do about it.
Do all parties involved have to be on board to really make this work? Because sometimes, at least I remember in my childhood, if your parents said anything to a bully, it was like, oh, boys are just being boys, and they kind of poo-pooed it and played it down. Does everybody have to be on the same page if they're going to get results?
If you're going to, the bottom line answer would be yes, that everybody needs to be on board. And even if you can't get everybody on board, you have to start somewhere. And to getting as many people and many factors on board. But yeah, the more people you have on board, on the same page, addressing the issues of the bullying from both the bully and the victim standpoint, the better results you're going to end up having. And that's why, again, that the workshop's been split, one for professionals and another for parents, so that we're getting as many people on board as possible.
I imagine in your line of work, if you're dealing with someone who bullies, you have to walk a fine line. You have to tell them that it's wrong, but not to the point where, you know, they're just giving up on themselves, that, you know, I can't do anything right, that type of thing.
Well, right. As a psychologist, it's more walking that line of separating the deed from the doer. Right? I don't want to make you bad or wrong or naughty. The behavior is what needs to change. Okay? Even in your anger, it's okay to be angry. You get to be angry. Anger is an important feeling to have. It's just what you do with it. So you can still be angry, and here are some practical, usable steps of what you can do with your anger instead of that. And that's how we have to continue to walk that line of making sure we're not shaming and blaming someone into change.
Do you find overall people seem to have difficulty in dealing with anger? It is a very powerful emotion. It comes up quick. You know, the more things like love and that seem to be gentler and longer lasting, and anger and such seem to be more of a trigger and it's right there type of thing.
Yeah, this is how years ago it got started, and as I was saying at the beginning, in really dealing with angry and aggressive behavior, that it tends to be the feeling, anger is, the one that everybody shifts and funnels everything through it. So when I feel hurt in my relationship, my partner has done something that it feels hurtful to me, I get mad at him about it, rather than staying hurt about it. So we are angry about everything then, rather than maybe just having the right feeling about it. And so everything gets shifted through anger, and then the issues get confused.
Do people have the notion that some emotions are good and some are bad? Because basically they're emotions, and you need anger as much as you need love to balance yourself out. It's just how you deal with it.
We have four what are called our survival feelings. These are the basic feelings that all other feelings that we talk about are funneled through these four, and that they would be fear, anger, pain, and pleasure. Some your listeners may have heard that as sad, mad, glad, scared. Those are the four. All other ones are states or variations of those four feelings. And so they're neither good nor bad. Those are just your basic feelings of the makeup of who you are. It's what you do with those when you have them becomes more of the issue. So it's helping kids, and as well as adults, it's helping them identify the feeling that they're having and understand what that really is, and be able to express it effectively, and find strategies or ways of what they can do about it once they're having that feeling.
Is part of the difficulty that we very rarely seem to have just one feeling at a time? A parent can be angry at what their child did, but they still love them dearly. And it would almost seem, you know, to the outside person, that should seem like a, you know, it should be incongruent. It shouldn't happen. But it's a fact.
Yeah, it is. That your emotional state, you can be happy and sad at the same time. That is possible to do that. So you can be angry and love someone at the same time. And that's part of understanding emotions and feelings that we would have to go through. And that does tend to be one of the things that I work on in my office individually with patients from, you know, I think my youngest patient right now is 3 years old. My oldest is 77. So it's a whole range that we work with in helping people understand who they are, the feelings that they're having, how to express those effectively.
Is that a big part of kids growing up, learning how to deal with the multiples of emotions? They start out, they're either happy, they're crying, or they're hurting. You know, they have the basic four, but as they grow up, then they have to integrate them together, you know, and to make a whole person.
Yeah, and integrating those, understanding who I am, how to express my feelings, and understanding what I'm seeing in other people and how they feel, and some of the reciprocity involved in the feeling exchange, and what role I've played in that and what role other people play. Those are all the facets that do need to be discussed, brought up, looked into. And when we're dealing with a child that has taken on aggressive or bullying behavior, that has to be peeled open so that they can learn different aspects of expressing themselves and getting what they want in the world. I'm all for having kids what they want. And so it's not getting what you want is or not getting what you want. It's more about how you go about to get what you want. That's the key of what we help children begin to learn.
So it's basically telling them, you know, you don't want parents saying, don't feel that way. You feel what you feel. It's how you deal with it.
Right. You get to have those feelings. Now, here are some different things that can help you with the feeling, and here are some different things that you can do that would maybe not bring up that feeling in the future, given this kind of situation. And let's go practice that. Let's see how that works.
Now, getting back to the main core of your topic that you're going to be bringing to the Thumb Area on bullying, is the kid likely to come home and tell the parent they're being bullied, or is it going to be more often a case where the parent is going to suspect something?
No, it's more going to be that of you're going to suspect something might be happening, and you might be... They're unlikely that they're just going to come home and tell you that that's going on. So you're going to have to watch your child's mood. Are they becoming more reserved? Do they seem to be withdrawing socially from their peers? Are they concerned about going to school? Are they again? When I mentioned the number of kids every day, it's over 150,000 that are just out of school because of bullying situations. When you have that repeated behavior from your child, you need to move in and talk to them about it and find out what's going on. You have to look at how they're handling, again, because the bully, the victim oftentimes becomes a bully, and so they're playing out their frustration of how they're being treated, and they oftentimes do that on somebody younger or smaller or weaker. You have to watch for that. And you're going to, as a parent, you need to get, when you're noticing these things, get involved with the school so that the teachers and the administrators and the staff can begin to watch your child and give you some feedback on how they seem to be at school as well.
Is this a universal thing? I mean, I think people in our rural areas where we're at, like here in the Thumb, seem to see, oh, well, bullying, that's when you're in like an inner city school with gangs and all these other things going on. But it isn't just in the city schools. This happens everywhere.
Yes, exactly. I don't think they're saying that much in the Thumb anymore, because there are bullying cases that are happening right now that we're looking at. And so that's part of the reason why I know I'm coming in to the Thumb area to talk about this on the 21st, is to be able to address that, because it's not an urban issue. You know, it's not a city issue. It's not a socioeconomic issue. It's not an ethnic issue. It is a societal issue, and it is everywhere. Bullying has infiltrated into the workplace, into the family, into most everything that we do.
Now, one of your topics is going to be bully be gone. Is there a mechanism, a pattern you can use to try and either separate your kid from the bully or to stop the bullier's bullying, for lack of a better way of putting it?
Yes, that is the end result of where we're heading and what I'm talking about in the workshop on the 21st there are steps that we need to take, specific steps for the bully. There are specific steps that need to be taken for the victim. There are specific steps that need to be taken from the parents and then from the teacher and from the administrators, and everybody's got a part. And if we follow a script that we can apply to the situation, then we can affect change in the bullying behavior. And there's a part even that the other peers would play. So when we talk about that, it's not just about dealing with the bully and the victim, but it's talking about the bystanders as well. They have a responsibility and something that they can do about the situation. And when we begin to put all of that together, that's where we really see the most change taking place.
Is bullying a lot like child abuse, that there doesn't necessarily have, there's emotional abuse, there's also the physical abuse, so there may not be coming home with black eyes or anything. It may just be something that in a physical sense of an examination, you wouldn't see any bruising or anything, but it's still going on and it's very real to the child, causing them grief.
Well, the number one growing group of bullies in our country is actually comes amongst girls. Girls are the number one growing bullying group, and the girls bully different from boys. And so we tend to think of the bullying behavior as more as that physical, that one-on-one. It's the verbal, the yelling, the name calling. That tends to be more of the masculine way, the boy way we would see that. They tend to target the smaller, the younger. The girls, on the other hand, it's much more subtle. They do it with rumors. They share personal information. It's very much they're masters of the nonverbal message delivery. It's very, very covert, and tends to be among the more popular girls, that the ones that the teachers almost don't see it coming, and that's the number one way that girls bully is from social isolation of somebody else. They start rumors and say things that will keep somebody out of the inner circle of their friend group, and so they're manipulating them to treat me a certain way. I want to be treated in this group. I'm the queen bee, and if you don't treat me that way, then you get ostracized and set aside. That's all very covert. You're not going to see a black eye in that situation. There'll be blackened spots on the inside that someone feels on their emotions.
Is that basically done because that's more effective on girls, because they're more seeking to be, you know, a part of a group? They're more seeking to be, they see the clicks on television and stuff, and they want to be a part of the in crowd and that. Is that basically targeting what girls really need as to make the weapon to be a bully?
Well, that's that because, generally speaking, girls and women have a stronger social emotional component and a link to that, and so a very effective way to manipulate and control someone is to not give them access to that and ostracize them in some way and set them apart. So it's an effective technique, and it's hard to catch somebody at doing it. We can catch them in a scrum out on the playground, but it's hard to do that when it's just this subtle rumor spreading, or the telling everybody else in the group, don't talk to her today. You know, that you don't always run into it. You don't see that. It's easier to hide.
Is that harder for school personnel to spot than would be a physical brawl or a confrontation?
True, yes.
Because it's subtle, because it's just a glance, really, at times.
It can be a glance, or just the right kind of look in the right moment that sets somebody apart. The message that I'm watching you, or you're on my hit list, and it doesn't take much.
So if your child is being bullied, what do you need to do to support them? I mean, you need to help keep their esteem up. Are there things you should do? I mean, I understand taking care of the problem at school or wherever it's happening. But what do parents need to do to minimize the damage to their children?
Yeah, one of the pieces is teaching children a couple different aspects of not being a victim. How do you not put yourself in the position of being the one to be picked on? And how, another step would be, how do you then report effectively what's going on to you, or going on with you or in the group, and how do you take that to the adults and you get adults involved? And so on Thursday, I am going to be teaching and showing people the exact steps to take and the words to use for your child. And then you also want to look at with your child the that self-esteem piece and ways to build and boost their self-esteem aside of just what's going on in the social interactive group or how they're being bullied. And then another step is that of how, as the receiver of this, how do you build a construct around what other people are saying so that you can learn not to take that personally. You don't put it inside. When somebody calls you a name, that you have to, there's a way to train your mind to handle that differently. And there's a technique that I'll be working on that it's called You're a Car. And we'll be talking about that technique on Thursday as well.
A lot of adults don't have the skills to get past name calling. So I imagine it's even harder for kids.
Yes. And so that's why this particular workshop is for adults. So because what I know is you have to change yourself first and your child will follow your lead. So you take care of your emotions, your feelings, your ability to handle these aggressive or bully situations, and that then will trickle down to your children and they will have better opportunity to know how to handle them as well. And so that's why we spread it out from professionals how to handle it and workshops for parents on how to handle it. And then I do presentations for children as well. My son, who's a junior in high school, he wrote a book as a freshman on bullying. It's a science fiction adventure novel that has messages about bullying and violence in community. And he goes around the country and does workshops or more of the assembly presentations for kids. So we can hit it at all different ages.
Terrific. We're getting a little close to the end of our time here. I do want to go over again when you'll be speaking. It's going to be next Thursday, not tomorrow, a week from tomorrow, the 21st. And you're going to have two training sessions. The first one is going to be presented by the Parenting Awareness Coalition at the Evangel Life Church. And it's going to be How to Create a Bully-Free Environment. And that's the one you say that's geared for the social workers, educators, and the people who deal with children.
Right, that's for the professionals, yes.
And then later on in the evening from 5:30 till 8 p.m., again at Evangel Life Church, you're going to have Bully Be Gone, and that's the one provided for parents and interested professionals who may not have been able to get out during the business hours.
Yes, if you can't get out during the business hours, the material is the same material, it's just the language has changed a little bit towards how do you deal with this in the home, and the other one might be how do you deal with it in the school setting or, as a professional, how you'd handle it. So it's the same. I'm going to give the same material. The PowerPoint looks almost the same. So,
do they need to pre-register in any way so they have materials available for them, or is it just come on out?
From what I understand, I thought there was a pre-registration process or something where somebody needed to check in with that. I don't know if you have that particular contact information of who to get a hold of. I know it's through the it's Becky Gettle is the person through the Great Starts Huron. So she would be the person to contact to find out more information about registering.
Because you want to make sure you have enough chairs for everybody.
That's right. Yes.
Well, I appreciate you taking time with us. You're not a stranger to the area, though. You do other media and such. I understand you even are on TV on occasion.
Yeah, probably most everybody out in the Thumb area would be more recognizable of seeing me on WNEM TV5. I'm the Family Matters parenting expert for TV5. So you can see me on Friday on the noon news for the Family Matters segment, and then every Saturday and Sunday in the morning, you'll see me for the Weekend Wake Up Family Matters segment, and then on Monday, every Monday, I'm there for a Better Mid-Michigan segment as well. So you got three or four different times you can send in questions, and you can hear them being answered live on air.
Well, terrific. I appreciate you taking time with us today.
My pleasure. I hope to be able to see everybody on the 21st. Come on out, and we'll flesh these stuff that we've talked about. It's going to go on for over 2 hours, so you're going to get a lot more information than what we could cover here in the interview.
Yeah, and they can ask the specific questions that affect them.
Exactly, yes.
Again, thanks for being with us, Doctor.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
Our guest today on the program today has been Dr. Thomas Haller, and we've been talking about his upcoming seminars. It's going to be on bullying. He's got one in the afternoon, March 21st, a week from tomorrow, Evangel Life Church location. It is for how to create a bully-free environment, and the other one in the evening for parents and professionals who couldn't make it in the afternoon, Bully Be Gone, 5:30 until 8 p.m. again at Evangel Life Church. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.